This chapter corresponds with 1 Peter, and this is a millennial scene. And in this chapter, we're going to read about the glory that is going to come to this nation of Israel, the remnant, after her time of suffering and affliction is over. And it's a wonderful chapter. We won't cover it all, as far as I know, tonight. We'll just go down part way. The language in this chapter is just marvelous. And it's all future. It doesn't pertain to anything in the past, but it's all future. This is what Israel has to look forward to, the remnant, and even the rest of them, because they're going to go through a lot of suffering. But it's also what we too are going to go through. The verses 1 through 7, we can entitle this section, "The Coming and Presence of Jesus Christ That's Going to Draw All the World to Jerusalem." That seems impossible today, but that's what's going to happen. And when God says it in His Word, He means it. This is going to come to pass. Verses 8 through 14 is the return of the Jews from all over the world. Wherever they are, they're going to go back. They aren't there now. There's a lot of them down in Argentina, and quite a few in Russia. All over the world, there's lots of Jews. But these are God's people, and we don't ever want to ridicule the Jew. They belong to the Lord, and they're His people. He'll take care of them. And then verses 15 to 22 is the realization of God's promises to this nation, Israel. All right, if you want, I'll repeat those verses 1 to 7, the coming and the presence of Jesus Christ that draws all the world to Jerusalem. We wonder how that's going to be, but that little country. And then 8 to 14, the return of the Jews from the uttermost parts of the earth. And then 15 to 22, the realization of God's promises to the nation Israel. All right, let's read the first section, verses 1 through 7. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee," talking to the remnant, "and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces or the wealth of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian," the dromedaries were a species of camel that just have one hump. They're noted for their swiftness. "The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord." Notice, with gold and incense, we don't have any myrrh, because their suffering will be past. "All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with an acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory." All these are going to have a part in this. Amen. This is going to be a wonderful time for this nation, Israel. At the end of the 7 years, he's going to tell them to arise and shine. And these two words are wonderful in the Hebrew. The word arise, it's not just an admonition, but it's a word of power. And this word of power imparts life into these limbs that she's going to be able to rise up from the ground. Remember over in chapter 51 and verses 7 and 8, or 17 and 18, 17 and 18. She's seen here as a drunken person, woman. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk of the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. And the 18th goes on and talks about that. Well, here, this is the state they're going to be in. They are going to be so devastated by the fury that the Lord has poured out upon the nation Israel and upon the world, that she's going to be like this drunken woman. So she's going to need the power of the Lord. So the Lord gives her power to arise and shine. Now this is a creative power. This is going to be the marvelous power. It's a creative power that's in these two words. The word arise in the Hebrew is Q-me, Q-U-M-E, Q-me. And it's the same word that Jesus uses in Luke 8:54. I want to turn over there. This is when Jairus' daughter had died. And this is mentioned quite, this word arise is mentioned several times. And another instance is in the 7th chapter of Luke and the 14th verse. But I want to use this one tonight. In Luke 8, and I want to read verse 41 and 42, and then we'll skip down to 49. Luke 8, 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. Jairus means God will enlighten. And he is a type, or Jairus' daughter is a type of the nation Israel. But Jairus, this man came to the Lord, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him, or made application, or supplication to him, that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And I'm not going to read there in between. Let's skip down to the 49th verse. While he yet spake, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. That's all he asked. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Just think of this. Now these that laughed to scorn, these were hired mourners that they had in those days. They were standing out. They heard this. But they laughed him to scorn. So he drove them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. This is the same word here, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. They did this because they knew that they were trying to make him king, and it was not time for him to be the king as yet. But this is the same word here. This the power for obedience comes with the word of God. That's all Jesus said, arise. And the power to obey came with those words, arise. When the Lord speaks his word to our hearts, he gives us the power to obey him. This is a wonderful thing, and we don't question it. There's life that comes because it's a creative act. He creates in us more of himself. He puts more of his life within us. That's a wonderful thing. And notice here, this is what he's going to do to this nation Israel, because we read here that she's going to be almost like she's dead. And he says, Thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The light of the Lord is Israel's salvation. This is the Lord himself. And the glory of the Lord is come upon thee. This light is risen. Light is also glory. and light dispels the darkness and glory takes its place. Isn't this wonderful? The darkness cannot dispel light, but light dispels the darkness. Now, this is God's word tonight, so let's listen to it. It's so precious to me, the power of this word. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, this scripture came as I was studying this today, how when the word of God comes to us, and what does it do to us? In 2 Corinthians 3:18, let's read the 16th. Nevertheless, when it, that is the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding in as in a glass the glory of the Lord, or in a mirror. We were reading today about what these mirrors were like back then in those days. These mirrors, they shone up. They were made of brass, and I'm not going to go into all of that. But beholding it as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So as the Holy Spirit begins to bring light to us, that light changes us. By the Holy Spirit, it changes us from one sphere to another, from glory to glory, and we just become more like Him. We're changed into the same image from glory to glory. Isn't that wonderful? Won't it be a wonderful day when we get there and we're in His image? That's what thrills me. Praise the Lord! Won't it be wonderful? Praise the Lord! So this is when the Lord Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah, is going to come down, and He's going to bring light to this remnant that's going to be just like they're dead. And He's going to create power in them. He's going to give them power. He's going to give them life. And that's when that nation is going to be born in a day, that nation that is left. They're going to be born in a day, born again. They're going to come forth. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful time. You can just kind of put yourself there. That's what I do. How would I feel if I was gone through a terrible time of war like they're going to go through, and I'm laying there helpless, can't do a thing, and the enemies are all around? What am I going to do? You're going to be dependent upon the Lord. That's what. And this is when the Lord's going to come, and He's going to give life unto those people that are laying there, that don't have help from anybody else. No one is going to help them but the Lord. That's the place the Lord brings us today too. All right, this second verse tells of the condition of the Gentile powers, especially during the time of the Antichrist. The Lord is going to rise over the nation Israel, as we read there, but upon thee, it's going, the light, the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. That is the nation Israel. That's the second part of that verse. But upon the Gentiles, there's going to be darkness. And this is, as we said, will be especially during the time of the Antichrist. Over in the book of Micah, let's go over there. One of the little prophets has so much to say about this time. Micah 7. In verses 8 and 9. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. Now this is the remnant that is speaking. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against Him. Until He plead my cause and execute judgment for me, He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold His righteousness. Won't that be a wonderful day when they look up and they see Him? Look what it's going to be for us in 1 Thessalonians 4 when that trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to rise to meet Him and meet Him in the air. Oh, that's going to be wonderful. We're going to see Him first. And then in the ninth chapter of Isaiah, I wanted to read, going along with this, the ninth chapter and the second verse. Remember the condition that Israel is in today. they each day they their battles over there are getting more severe. Isaiah 9 and the second verse. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light shined. This will be this time. And then let's go to Isaiah 62 and the second verse. This book is so full of what's coming. It's just marvelous. This book and Jeremiah also. Chapter 62 and the second verse. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And that, we'll just leave that, because we'll be getting into that pretty soon, Lord willing. His glory is going to be seen upon them. And this means his glory is going to be very conspicuous. It will not be able to be hidden from the Gentiles. The third verse, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. They're going to come from all over the world. The Gentiles are going to come. Today, they don't. They're against, many of them are against this nation Israel, but then they're going to come. So he tells this remnant to lift up thine eyes round about and look. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Just look up and see who's coming. All the nations of the world. And they're going to come there because of the glory and the brightness that's going to shine upon this nation Israel. Zion is to lift up her eyes in all directions and just watch them come. What a day that's going to be. That's going to be marvelous. They're going to, the Gentile nations, we read here that thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. This means they're going to be carried hither astride the hip. They're going to come so fast, and we're going to see here just how they're going to come as we get on down here. This is going to be a great day. The fifth verse, then thou shalt see and flow together. I like this word flow. It means be enlightened. That's what Strong brings out. Be enlightened. And Jesenius says to shine or give light. When light shines, it just takes in everything, doesn't it? This is what the thought here. The light of God, the light of Jesus Christ, is going to be covering that nation Israel. And there, when they come there, they're all going to just flow together under that light. That could be wonderful. It's going to be a wonderful day. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it'll be upon that nation Israel first of all. And then all the rest of the nations are going to come there. That's going to be that's what the Lord is telling us here. They're going to come together to give light, to be glad is another thought, to rejoice. And it's going to put a brightness or give them a happy face. That's the thought here. You know, when you gather with the saints, there's a joy upon our faces, isn't there? There is. I just love to. And I love to be with God's people that love the truth. And it just thrills me. But this, we just flow together. That's the thought here, too. When we're all of one spirit, when we're all yielding to the Lord and desiring the Word and have our hearts open to take in the Word, we just flow together. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful truth. And thine heart shall fear. That word fear means tremble or be enlarged or swell with delight as they apprehend what the Lord is doing because of his goodness to them. That could be wonderful. The joy causes the heart to enlarge. Grief causes the heart to contract. Just the opposite. That joy causes the heart to enlarge, and that's going to be a wonderful day for the nation. I had chapter 66:20 down. We'll read it because it's going to bring in some of these. This is what we have in this chapter. Chapter 66:20 of Isaiah. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules, upon swift beasts, Bethel's dromedaries, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. These Gentiles are going to see to it that the people of Israel, the Jews, get back to their land. They're going to see to it. The Lord's going to use this. And we brought out this word, that this word forces means the wealth of the Gentiles is going to come unto, go unto the nation Israel. They're going to be so indebted to these people. All right, is there any questions now? This could be a wonderful day. We think of what they're doing now, as, you know, they're just trying to make peace over there, and they can't. And there's some good things in this, in the signpost, in the grace and glory that really spoke to my heart this time. All right, here we read of the multitude, in the sixth verse, the multitude of camels shall cover thee. This word cover thee means that there's going to be so many of them that come. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. And I'm going to go into these names, just not deep, but just to let you know who they are. Midian is a son of Abraham by Keturah. And we, you can find this in Genesis 25, verses 1 through 6. We may read that one in a little bit. And it's also in 1 Chronicles, the first chapter, and the 32nd verse. Now remember, Abraham's first wife was who? Sarah. She had one son, didn't she? And that was Isaac. Then he married, after Sarah died, he married Keturah. And these are the children that he had. Midian was one of them. And Ephah, Midian means strife, is the meaning of Midian. And then Ephah was the first son of Midian. And his name means darkness. Now these are, and if you look on your map, and I wanted to get a map that should show these, but they cover all of Arabia. The desert region goes clear down to Sheba, to southern Arabia, clear over into the land of Midian, which is further east. This is all these countries that occupy that land today. They're Ishmaelites. They're really, it's what they are. Sheba is another one here. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. Sheba was the son of Jokshan, which was also Keturah's son. That's in 1 Chronicles 1:32. And his name means an oath. And then we have Kedar. Remember in Song of Solomon, the bride says that she was black like the tents of Kedar. Well, Kedar means darkness. He was the second son of Ishmael, that's in 1 Chronicles. And all of this, as we said, is south of the Arabian Desert, all through there. That's where they occupy today. And then Nebaioth, on down there in the seventh verse, is the firstborn of Ishmael. And his name means heights, H-E-I-G-H-T-S. Let's go over to Genesis 25 and read this. He was the firstborn of Ishmael, who was the son, Ishmael was the son of Abraham and Hagar. And I want to read this, because this, in Genesis 25, we understand by knowing these things, who are the enemies of Israel. Now they are, then they won't be. They'll come and bring gifts to this nation. Genesis 25, and I want to read the sixth verse, the first verse down through the fifth. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran and Jokshan. Now these are some of the names we just covered. And Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. And Jokshan begat Sheba, that's Arabia. And Dedan, remember the queen of Sheba that came up during Solomon's day and brought Solomon all those gifts? So Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Letushim and Leumim. And then the sons of Midian, there's Ephah and Epher and Hanok and Abida and Eldaah. All these were the children of Keturah. But notice this fifth verse. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. He was the promised son. And that's where the Jews, the nation Israel, is from today. It's from Isaac. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Praise the Lord. All right. Sheba. This is down in Yemen, in down way down south. They bring the gold, the jewels, and the spices that they have down there. It's a rich country. And I don't know if you're following the news, but this country has said that Yemen has requested some of the troops from this country to go over to Yemen. So they have sent 100 and so troops over there. There's lots of reasons why they want to be there. This is one of them right here, the wealth of that little country of Yemen. So there's a lot of things going on that the Lord just picks up our ears and we prick them up and we say, well, there's a reason for all of this. But all of these people and these animals are going to minister unto the nation Israel. Notice that in the seventh verse, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Now, there's a reason why they're going to bring all these animals. Over in the book of Ezekiel, from chapters 40, clear through chapters, I think it's 44, we're not going to turn there, but we read there of them going to build a millennial temple. And these people that build this temple are going to have to be spiritual because they're going to have to take the instructions from the book of Ezekiel to build this temple. And when they do, they're going to begin offering up offerings. This is during the millennium. Let's go over to Ezekiel 43. Now, I've got the word to back me up on this. So if anybody questions it, read this. They're going to look back to Calvary. We look forward to Calvary. And when they offered in the Levitical covenant ceremonies, they looked forward to Calvary, to when Christ was going to come. In the millennial day, they're going to look back to Calvary. God is never going to let them forget. They're going to do this during the millennium. During the millennium, there is still going to be sin. There's not going to be, because as we're going to read a little further in Isaiah, a person will live to be 100 years old, and if they don't accept Christ, they're going to be cut off. They're going to have to offer up a sin offering. There's a lot of things that are going to go on. The millennial reign is going to be a reign with a rod of iron. Jesus, during those years, is going to have to bring all the nations into subjection to his Father. He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. We read in 1 Corinthians 15. Some of them will do it willingly. And we're going to read here about some who don't pretty soon. But let's read this in Ezekiel 43, the 8th verse. I want to start, just read here a little bit down. Of what they're going to offer up. This is why they're going to need these animals. Remember that tribulation. This country of Israel is going to be devastated. So because all the nations of the world are going to be there. I can imagine what war is, because we've seen from World War II, and we've seen since then some of the things that have gone on in some of these nations that have just devastated these countries. Well, you can imagine when all the nations of the world gather there in Israel, what they're going to do to that land. They're going to kill the animals. They're going to kill everything. Well, they're going to need these animals for these sacrifices. All right, the 18th verse. And he said unto me, Son of man, thus saith the Lord God, these are the ordinances of the altar in the day when they shall make it to offer burnt offerings thereon and to sprinkle blood thereon. One of the offerings that they're going to offer up. Remember, the burnt offering speaks of Christ holy coming to do his Father's will. Psalms 40 speaks of him as the burnt offering. And then down in the 22nd verse, in the 19th verse it mentions, let's read it. And thou shalt give to the priests, the Levites that be of the seed of Zadok, which approach unto me to minister unto me, saith the Lord, a young bullock for a sin offering. There we have the sin offering mentioned down in the 21st verse. And the 22nd verse, we read the second day, another kid of goats without blemish for a sin offering. And on down in the 24th verse, we read of the burnt offering again. Okay, the 27th verse, and when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the eighth day and so forward, the priest shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings. So we have the burnt offering, the sin offering, and the peace offering that are going to be offered up during the millennial reign of Christ. So they're going to need these animals that all of these countries bring to them. And these are going to be long trips that these camels and dromedaries are going to have to make to bring all of these animals up to the nation Israel. They're going to need them. That the Lord's going to supply their need. It's going to be a marvelous day. But I like in the latter part of last words of the sixth verse, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord, back in Isaiah 59. And in the last part of the seventh verse, and I will glorify the house of my glory. See how all of this is because they're going to bring praise and glory to the house of the Lord. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Going to be marvelous. Thank the Lord. All right. I can just see all these animals coming from all these countries. Isn't it going to be something? All right. Now, here in the eighth verse, Isaiah turns and he says, who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? These are coming real quickly. Now, how do you think they're going to get there? What about the airplane today? See, they're going to come home. They're like a homing pigeon. They're going to come home. And these nations are going to bring them home by means of these airplanes. No doubt that's how they're going to come. No, some of them may come by ship. But they'll all come to honor the Lord. That's the main thing. And the reason for their haste in getting back there is because of the faith that God will have put in their hearts to get there. God has a time limit. And he's going to see to it that the faith that they need is going to be implanted in their hearts just at the right time. And they're going to want to go. Just like today, he puts faith in our hearts to obey him, to do what he wants us to do. So he puts that faith there to do his will. The same with them. He's going to put faith in their hearts to honor him and to fulfill his purposes. And so they're going to move under the direction of the Lord in all of this. Praise the Lord. Won't that be a wonderful day? You know where we're going to be, don't you? We're up there watching it. We'll have a part in some of it. No doubt. Glenn and I was talking the other day how after Jesus arose from the dead, you know, he went up after when he told Mary not to touch him. But, you know, he came back down the same day. Same day he came right back down. Now, that's how we're going to be. Won't that be wonderful? Yeah. We won't need an airplane. We won't need anything. But we've got to be ready. That's what I think the Lord is impressing upon my heart, to give this word out, to all of us know that it's coming, and if we don't listen to it and obey the word, we're going to miss out of being taken up in that bridal company. And I'd rather go through whatever trials the Lord brings across our pathway now than go through any of the tribulation. It's going to be terrible down here. All right, this ninth verse and the tenth verse, let's read them. Surely the isles shall wait for thee, or the coastlands, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel. And again, because he hath glorified thee. Notice that's that nation Israel. He will have glorified them. In the 10th verse, and the sons of strangers, that is the Gentiles, shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. Do you think they do that today? No way. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. I love these two verses. They're marvelous. These isles speak of the far-off nations of the world that will move under God's direction. And they'll come and build up these walls that were destroyed during the tribulation. These walls that will be that all around that city of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, he talks about these walls and the gates. Ezra and Nehemiah. And then they're going to have to rebuild all of these. Well, the Gentiles are going to do it for the nation Israel. They're going to serve this nation Israel. It's going to be marvelous. They're going to come and build up the walls, and their king shall minister unto thee. I like that. They'll come and minister unto thee. Let's read Isaiah 54:7-8. There's so many verses that just fit right in with this. Chapter 54 and verses 7 and 8. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. And that small moment is during this time from Calvary on, and no doubt before when they turned and were disobedient, but especially from Calvary on, he forsook them. And that's why they've been through all of the things they've been through since that time, because they disobeyed and rejected the Lord. But with great mercies will I gather thee, and in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. That's all the Lord sees it as, just a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. You know what's wonderful to me in all of this? That all of this was determined before the foundation of the world, just what would happen. I was reading Psalms 139 this morning, and I love that psalm. We were talking to Fina about it when we visited with her. But there's some wonderful things in that psalm. I could read it every day and get something more from it. The Lord knew all about each one of us before we were ever born. He knows our thoughts afar off. He orders our steps. There's nothing that he doesn't know about us. We can't hide a thing from him, and I love that. All right, the 11th verse in our study chapter. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually, because they won't fear anymore. They shall not be shut day nor night. And one of the reasons is that men may bring unto thee the wealth of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. That's a wonderful verse. All the wealth, their gates will be open, and the wealth of the Gentiles will be brought unto them. In the 12th verse, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Remember, this is a millennial time. So some will not serve thee. They're going to perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. This speaks of the second death. Now, let's go to Zechariah 14. See, there's going to be disobedience during this time by some of the nations, and some of even God's people are going to be disobedient even in this time. We think of many of them today that are disobedient. What is it going to be then? Then the power of the Antichrist comes and they're going to be deceived. Zechariah 14 and verses 17 to 19. They're going to have the Feast of Tabernacles during that time. In the 17th verse, and it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. God will judge them. He will utterly destroy many of them, as we read here in this 12th verse of Isaiah 60. Praise the Lord. They're going to have an opportunity, and man has had an opportunity from the beginning of time, really, to accept the Lord, and especially since Calvary. We're put here for a period of time for one reason. And that is, what are we doing with Jesus Christ? That's the only reason that man has been put here. It's not to go our own way and do our own thing, but it's to yield to the Lord. And some of our time is just about up. We're going to be cropped. And I like that. Praise the Lord. All right, this 13th verse. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? These trees and the materials that are mentioned here were used back in the book of Ezekiel 27. They were used to enrich religious and political Babylon, especially religious Babylon, which is spoken of in Ezekiel 27 as Tyre. But here, the Lord, the Antichrist, during the thousand years, will be down in the bottomless pit. These trees, and these trees are very valuable trees. The fir tree that we read of here was used to make the shipboards, as we had over in the 41st chapter. The fir, pine, and the box. The pine tree is the plane tree. And the box tree is the cypress that was used by the engravers. But these are the finest of all the trees of Lebanon. And one commentator, the Hebrew commentator, believes that these trees are going to be rooted up and taken and planted around the temple in Jerusalem. And no doubt this will be, because there's going to be a river flowing from that temple too, we read there in Ezekiel. So they're going to have these, and these will be planted around the temple, all of these. There, notice that, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. It's going to be marvelous. This is where the Lord is going to dwell in his temple with his bride. Remember, the remnant of Israel is going to be the bride of Jehovah. The bride of the Lamb is in the glory with the Lamb. That's another company. The full overcomers in Revelation 4 and 5 speak of the bride. The elders and the four living ones is the bride of Jesus Christ. They'll be up there with the Lamb at this time, with Jesus. The remnant of Israel is the wife of Jehovah. He has set her aside now because of her unbelief. But then he's going to bring her back, and he'll take her back, and she is the bride of Jehovah. Praise the Lord. All right, the 14th verse. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending. And this is a marvelous verse. And we're going to close with this one. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. This is a day. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion, or the sunny place, Zion, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Now, they're going to come bending. I looked the word bending up, and it means to submit oneself. They're going to submit themselves unto this nation, Israel, that will be here. This nation that they afflicted, the sons of them that afflicted thee, this word afflicted means tormented. This is what they're doing today. These nations that are going to come and bring all of this in this day are tormenting this nation Israel today. Just listen to the news on BBC. That's where we get it. And they're just tormenting those people of Israel. And then all of they that despise thee shall bow or stretch themselves. In other words, they'll have their feet on their prostrate bodies in homage to God. These people are going to bend down, and then the Israelites will, as this word study brought out, they'll place their feet upon their prostrate bodies in homage to God. They're going to acknowledge this little remnant of Israel. prostrate oneself in homage, Strong says, in worship to this bride of Jehovah. That's who this they're doing this to. And I want to go over to Revelation in closing, because this is what is going to happen to the bride of the Lamb, too. They're going to honor these people of God. It pays to walk with the Lord, dear ones. In Revelation 3, this is written to the book, to the Church of Philadelphia, which means brotherly love. It's the highest rank. It speaks of that rank in the church that's going to be translated, the Philadelphia Assembly. He says here, I'll keep you out of that hour of trial, the 7 years of tribulation. And the Smyrna church represents those who have died and will be caught up together. They will be raised first, and then the Philadelphia saints will meet them in the air, to meet the Lord in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4. All right, I want to read just from this letter, the seventh verse. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. This is a door of translation. And no man can shut it. Just think of that. For thou hast a little strength, and I like this. We have a little ability. We have the miraculous power of God when we walk with him. And has kept my name and has not denied, kept my word and has not denied my name. This speaks of him as the head of his people, where he's our head, he's our bridegroom. We have not denied that. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. This speaks of those who believe they are Christians, but they haven't been born again. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. And the reason is because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of trial that shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That word worship in the ninth verse, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. That word means to prostrate oneself in homage, and also to one of a superior rank. The bride of the Lamb is going to be the superior rank of the church because they've allowed the Lord to work in their lives. We know that without him we can do nothing, and we acknowledge the fact that we need his word every day. We need his strength. We need his life. We need him. And the older that we get in these natural bodies, the more we need him. And as we grow in the Lord, and we were talking to Patty about this the other day, as we grow in the Lord, he increases in us, and we need more of him. We need more of his word to sustain us. And the old man decreases, and I thank the Lord for that. So we need more of the word. That's why we can sit for 3 or 4 hours and study. I love it. We get filled up with it, with this word, and that life in us becomes stronger, and it grows. Oh, thank the Lord. Let's finish reading this wonderful letter to Philadelphia. He says, I'll keep thee from the hour of trial, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. This church and the Smyrna church are promised a crown. No other rank is promised a crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He, the individual that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, saith unto the churches. The Holy Spirit talks to each one of us as individuals. The Shulamite wanted all of the daughters to come. They didn't do it. She went on alone, and that's what we do. We go on. Praise the Lord. All right. These are wonderful truths, and I'll tell you, dear ones, they're coming to pass. Praise the Lord. Any questions? Any comments? Praise the Lord. God is a spirit. That's all he is a spirit. He'll be here with that bride, with his bride. And his glory is going to shine all over it all. Jesus will come down too, and they'll recognize him as their Messiah. And that's when he will come and take this company back to himself, when they recognize Jesus as their Messiah. The only one of the Trinity that ever became a man was the second person, and that's Jesus. And he's up there now, a glorified man, and we're going to be like him. We'll have a glorified body, like unto his glorious body. We're going to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. All we have now is just a tent that we're living in. And this tent, 2 Corinthians 5, is going to be dissolved. We're not going to take this thing up there with us. Thank the Lord. Won't it be wonderful? But he is. We have a house, 2 Corinthians 5. He's making us a house, preparing us. And this is what we're going to have. Praise the Lord. Let's read that in 2 Corinthians 5. I love that. Wonderful future we have. And anybody can have it if they want it. That's the wonderful thing. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and it's going to be, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, and how we do, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Won't be a mortal body anymore. It's going to be an immortal body, clothed upon with a house which is from heaven. Praise the Lord. Mortality, how is that in 1 Corinthians 15? It says there, let's see if I can find it. There's a spiritual body, and then there's a natural body, a spiritual body. Which one? 15, in 1 Corinthians 15. This mortal must put on immortality. And this corruptible, it's on over in the latter part of the chapter. As is the earthy, in 48th verse, as is the earthy, such are also are they that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such is they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. This is at the last trump. But in 53rd verse, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal, that's what I wanted, must put on immortality. Must. I like those words, must. It's a fact. We have to do it. This body would be very uncomfortable, I'll say, in heaven. It wouldn't even last. The one that we're in now, it will not last. Now, we've had the privilege tonight of listening to the word and reading it and understanding it. And I trust the Lord that everybody that's here will see the weight of it and the importance of it. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. All right, any questions?